Well, we appreciate the presence of everyone this afternoon. And man, what a meal. What food. That was just great. It helps a person's feelings to have good food. I've noticed that. At least it helps mine. And we appreciate all that so very much. Remember the gospel meeting that's coming up. Starts in 2 weeks. And we look forward to a great meeting. If you have need of some of the flyers back there, you can hand them to someone or mail them or nail them to a fence post or whatever you need to do to, if you want to invite some others to the meeting. And as I say, everyone in town will get a brochure in the box. So at any rate, we look forward to a good meeting. It's always a good time. Of fine fellowship and fine food and good preaching, teaching, exhortation. It's just great. And they're coming around so often now, just like everything else. I want to begin this lesson by going to two passages in Hebrews. The lesson is entitled, They Forgot. They Forgot. But I want to begin this by pointing out the balance, the correct and idyllic balance that exists in God. You have some anthropomorphisms here relative to God, but in Hebrews 6 and verse 10, the writer, in trying to bolster the brethren at Jerusalem, evidently the Hebrew Christians, he says to them, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which ye showed toward His name, in that ye ministered unto the saints and still do minister." Now, isn't that something? He frames it on God's memory. And he says, "Now I know that you brethren over there have really been doing a good job in helping the church. You've taken care of the needs of the brethren. And when you help the brethren, that's the family of God." And so he said, "You've done this toward the name of God." And he says, God won't forget that. Of course, God's knowledge is simultaneous. So that's what I mean. He's drawing on a human characteristic to make us see this point. God is not going to let something like that fall out of mind. He doesn't forget. But he's talking about their love and their work, because they were good toward the church. They ministered toward the church. They helped the church. God says, that's what I want to see. I like to see that. And so he says, I will remember that. But then in chapter 8, turn the page over there, in verse 12, he's been discussing Jeremiah 31 and 31 and following, discussing the new covenant that God was going to make with His people. But in the midst of all of that quotation, he says, verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and their sins will I remember no more." This is this marvelous, idyllic balance in the mind of God. I'm not going to forget the good that you are. All things being equal, and if you're in the covenant and you're faithful, I will forget your iniquities. Isn't that something? Now that's just a marvelous thing when you're thinking about the infinite mind of eternal God. Now when you come down and you start thinking about us on our level of living, we sometimes have difficulty with our memory. We sometimes forget what we shouldn't, and we don't forget what we should. We don't always have the balanced blend of things in mind. Memory is such a fundamental characteristic of rationality, you can't be rational without it. That's how basic it is. You can't even form a sentence without remembering each word that's coming up and the ones that just came. Memory is that basic in human personality. Now, we talk about remembering things and forgetting things, but we don't always have it perhaps in proper order or whatever. I just want to take a few cases in Scripture this afternoon, just for a few moments. Talk about some instances where the text reminds us that something was forgotten here. Somebody forgot something here. And that's what the lesson will be about. They forgot. The first point is Genesis 40:23, along with chapter 41, verse 1. When the butler, the chief butler, was restored to his duty of serving Pharaoh his cup, he forgot Joseph. The next chapter says 2 years go by. That's when Pharaoh has his dream, and I remember my faults this day. 2 years! Truly, as the psalmist said, the word of the Lord tried Joseph. So for a long time, Joseph just goes about being the best head of the prison he can be. You make the best of your circumstances. By the way, young person, can't just say young people, but young person, young Oren. That's one great lesson that you have to learn in life is to make the best out of the circumstance that you have. If you can't get into another circumstance, one that you might want to be in, and you just can't get it done, then make the best out of the one that you're in. That's what Joseph, by the help of God, was able to do. Who wants to be a slave on his way to Egypt? Joseph could say, not me. Who wants to be lied about by Potiphar's wife? Joseph could say, not me. Who wants to be in Pharaoh's prison? Not me. And after he interprets the dreams for the baker and the butler, and then the butler goes back to a man of authority that could call him up, and he says, and the text says that he forgot him. But he forgot him. Sad, sad. 2 years he's left down there. But he has God. That's what made the prison atmosphere work. Because he had been reared right. He had the knowledge of God. And so he was faithful to God. Though he was in a foreign country, he was still in his own skin and in his own spirit. And he knew who he was. And he knew who God was. And he knew what this down here was. The people of God were the people of his father. Not the people of Egypt, the special people, were his own people. And so because he had things straightened out in his own mind, before he ever got to the throne, you know, he had to go to the pit, and then he had to go to the prison, and then he had to deal with somebody forgetting him who could just have easily had told and maybe gotten him out, perhaps just in a few days. Number two. So in Genesis 41:51, when Joseph's father never comes after him, he names his firstborn Manasseh. We always say Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh was the firstborn. And it means forgetting. Why did he name his firstborn forgetting? Because God hath enabled me to forget my father's house. Sad. Just think for a moment. Try to analyze his feelings. Plumb the depths of his spirit. Being brought to that moment in your own spirit when you have to look back at your father and all of your brethren and you say to yourself, life goes on and in order for me to have a future, I've got to forget the past. And that includes my father. Now, he loved his father. And later he'll have a great reunion with his father. But right now he doesn't know why his daddy doesn't come after him. Why he has to stay down there in this strange land. Will anybody remember me? And so it was a matter of self-control. It was a matter of discipline. You put out of mind everything that if it stays helps to destroy or weaken. I'll give you an impediment to your future. He says, I've got to just put this away. And he had as many natural feelings as you've got or I've got. And he loved his parents as much as you love yours. But he said, something has to give here. And they seem to have forgotten me back home and nobody seems to be interested in me down here. And I know what my brothers did to me, but why doesn't my father come? And he never came. He forgot his father's house for a while. But in the marvelous, majestic providence of a loving God, finally the time came when during those banquet meals, he was listening to this and hearing this and learning facts he'd never heard before. And one occasion he had to go off into the kitchen and cry. My goodness, what a grand reunion. He learned his father thought he was dead. But he didn't know that when he got to Egypt. See, sometimes you have to live and you suppose things. You imagine things. And sometimes that becomes very lofty in your mind, living with multitudes of presuppositions. And one of Joseph's was, Daddy knows, but for some reason he no longer cares. But that wasn't true. Just wasn't true. Number three, Philippians 3, Paul uses self-control. And he says in verses 13 through 16, Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal, unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says to the church at Philippi, Now we're in this together. Let us therefore, as many as are complete, that is, we're mature Christians, let us be thus minded. You be this way too with me. And if anything ye are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. Maybe this will be one of God's corrections in His providence or whatever. But God will make things clearer. God is a God of clarity. As life goes on and you stay in contact and in touch and in fellowship with God, God is a God of clarification. He makes things clear. This also shall God reveal unto you. Only whereunto we have attained, by what you do understand, by the same let us walk. You may not understand some things, God will make that clearer later, but what we do understand, let's walk in the light of our lights. Let's walk in the light of what we know is true. Let's all do that. And that entails putting the past in the past, stretching forward toward the goal under the prize of the upward calling of God. So, the third point was, Paul forgot his misguided past. You've heard me say, if anybody ever had a right to just cry himself to death or to commit suicide over a misspent past, Paul could have done that over persecuting the body of Christ, the church. But he didn't. He was able, by the strength of the Spirit, by the grace of God, to live with the knowledge of what he had horribly done to other people. The forgiveness of God was real. It was authentic. It was effective. And it was supposed to have psychological effect. Not just the cancellation of the sins by the blood of Christ, which is a humongous thing. Nobody else could get that done, but the blood of Christ could. But it had a psychological effect. It made living possible. It made living right worthwhile. And so he said, I just have to put some things behind me. But you know he remembered them because he tells us about them in some of his books. So he's not saying, I'm just some sort of a magic trick and I can't recall anything. I don't let what I used to do destroy me. God's grace is powerful enough to take care of the psychological effect as well as the cancellation of a sin. And then, number four, Matthew 16, 5 through 12, Jesus' disciples came to the other side of Lake Galilee, and the text says they forgot to take bread. Now, isn't that something? As important as bread is, the disciples came to the other side, Matthew 16, 5, and forgot to take bread. Now, Jesus uses this occasion and they're forgetting the bread to make a point about the bread or the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, they may think he's making some comment about their having failed to bring some bread along. But that wasn't it. But he was warning them to beware of the teaching of the Pharisees. But on the occasion, they did forget to take bread. I don't usually forget my meals. I don't usually forget to show up for my meals. And we all need meals. Now, man shall not live by bread alone, But bread alone is important. By the way, that word alone, whenever it appears, is crucial. And when it doesn't appear, don't write it in. Some of us are pretty good about writing it in, as good on some occasions as any denomination is on another. I can't live by bread alone, but I've got to have some bread. I've got to have some food. Don't forget your bread. Now, spirituality does not mean that you forget about your carnal nature. You forget about your flesh. You forget about your job, your activities, your relationship. It's not something that's improper or impractical. Spirituality is the most practical, but it has its place. We put God first. We put spirit first over body. But body has to be taken care of. And there's our bread. They forgot to take bread. Maybe their minds were just drifting. Maybe they weren't focused. They just weren't maybe careful. But they did forget it. Number five, more importantly, Hosea 4 and verse 6, some of the Jews forgot God and His law. Far more crucial, they had forgotten the law of their God, the prophet says. And so God was going to forget their children. Write the Word of God on your heart. Get it in your mind. Get it in your mouth. Have it so that expressions, you know, will call forth certain passages, or passages will remind you other passages. Grow in your Bible study so that this verse reminds you of this verse, and this verse reminds you of this one. And I remember reading this and this and this and this, and it all comes together more easily. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Don't forget God. Don't forget His law, the law of Christ. Don't forget His Word. Hosea 4 and verse 6. Hebrews 12, 5, number 6. Some forgot the exhortation. Again, back to the church of the Hebrews in Jerusalem. Son, you don't want to forget the exhortation. What exhortation? Well, God loves the Son that He chastens. You don't want to forget how God has set life up. Young people have to learn this as they come up. Son, daughter, here's the way life is. Here's some things you need to know. Here's some things you need to pray for. You need to understand this. It's not always going to be easy. There are going to be rough decisions to make. There'll be times you'll be where you don't want to be. That's just the way life is. You can't have it your way all the time. But you want to have it God's way. You want to have it God's way. And in Hebrews 12, 5, he says some have forgotten the exhortation. Some of you Christians, you don't like the way persecution leaves you. You don't like what persecution does to you. But remember how life is. How God has framed it. God chastens whom He loves. So don't take it as though something is out of control and I hate life. Take it as though everything is under control and God loves me. That's amazing. He said, you've forgotten the chastening. I'm going to give up on the truth or give up on the church, go back into Judaism because somebody makes your life inconvenient. Or they criticize you for forsaking Moses. False accusations are a dime a dozen. You've forgotten the Scriptures. You've forgotten the correction. Correction is a part of living. And so you have to remember that. 2 Peter 1:9, Peter talks about the possibility of forgetting your own cleansing. I guess if you get out of a bath, it's kind of hard to forget where you were just a moment ago. I guess you finally get to the point in senility. You might have a problem. You know, you hear about people saying, I got up to the middle way of the stairs and I couldn't remember if I was going up or coming down or whatever. You get to a point where it's easier to forget, but you know, you get out of a bathtub. I guess generally speaking, we know where we are. But he says it's possible, spiritually speaking, for a person not to grow. Not to develop. He makes no progress. He has no goal. And it's just like he's forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. The old sins. The alien sins. The past sins. And God washed him up one day. God cleaned him up one day. God forgave him one day. And then he starts living, but he doesn't live with gratitude. He doesn't live with growth and development. He doesn't live with focus. And it's just like he forgot what an enormous thing God did for him. Forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. I never want to forget that. You don't want to forget that. And then number 8 in James 1:24, James says, you know, it's very possible just to forget what manner of man you are. He says, if you're a hearer of the word, but you don't apply it to your life, you hear it, but you don't apply it. He says, you're just like that man that stands before a mirror, and then he looks at himself, and then he goes away from the mirror, and he forgets what manner of man he was. Like a baby, out of sight, out of mind. That's a bad kind of forgetting. So the point is, don't be a person that just hears the word. Be a person who hears the word and who applies the word to his life. And then in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 4 and verse 11, we all forget former generations. That's just the way life is. One generation comes after another generation passes. The earth remains forever, but the generations come and they go. And we forget the dead. We forget the dead. That's just the way life is. I heard a good friend of mine, mention that one time. He knew that passage in Scripture. He didn't want to be like that. He wanted to be very much alive right now, and he wanted to be remembered. Didn't want to be like a dead man out of sight. Well, we do forget. After a while, well, you say, maybe I won't forget my generation, but the next one will, or the next one after it. The world is changing at a rapid pace. Things that impressed me when I was in my 20s and that still mean so much to me because of the way that I was raised and the way that you were raised in the church on the gospel. So many people today in our world know nothing about that. Nothing about it. We keep on forgetting what has come and what is gone. And then finally in 2 Peter 3, in verse 5, Peter said, you know, some people forgot the flood. How can you forget something as universal as that? Something as significant as that? Something as intriguing and challenging as that? But he said, they forgot it. The ones Peter had in mind, they forgot it because they did not really want to retain it in their minds. Again, it was a matter of discipline, but it wasn't for their improvement. It was for their relief. I don't want to have to think about accountability before God. If you think about the flood, you're thinking about people destroyed on the face of the earth because they acted bad. They lived in sin. They died in sin. They forgot about God. They turned down the warnings of God. And I don't want to have to think, somebody might say, about God all the time. Thinking about God or thinking about my relationship with God or my accountability before God or standing in judgment before God. This they willfully forget. And so it's a matter of discipline too, but not to their improvement, but to their everlasting condemnation. So like Paul, you can with self-control forget the past for your eternal welfare. Or like those to whom Peter referred in 2 Peter 3, you can use self-control and discipline to forget about the past to your eternal ruin. You can do it either way. May God help us to do the right way. These are a few cases in Scripture when they forgot. If you're this afternoon and not a Christian, come in faith. Repent of your sins. Make the good confession. Be baptized into Christ. If you've done that and gone astray, we encourage you to come home right now. While together we stand, while we sing, won't you come?